Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 10 this morning. And I'm excited to go through this, especially when we get to verse 14. It's one of my favorite verses here in this book. But let's talk about something before we read it. We're about to see here in our text that God is going to call Moses to set the people of Israel free from slavery. That's what's going to happen in our text today. God is going to call Moses to set Israel free. But here's the interesting thing about that we need to know. Back in chapter number 2, Moses had already tried to do that. Moses had already tried to set Israel free once, and he failed. And he was not able to do it. Now the question is, why wasn't he able to do it in chapter number 2? And the answer is this: because Moses was not in God's will. And when we aren't in God's will, we are not able to accomplish the things He wants us to do. But when you come to now chapter number 3, it's been 40 years. And God is going to come to Moses and says, I've got a plan. And I want to use you to accomplish that plan and set my people free. And Moses is now going to be able to do it because now he is in God's will. Now it is God's plan. It is God's timing. But there comes up a problem. Moses doubts whether he is able to do what God is telling him to do. And that is exactly where we find ourselves so many times in our lives as well. We know what God is telling us to do. We know where God is telling us to go. But so often we doubt whether we are able to do it or not. So this morning what I want to talk to you about using this text is that we are able to do God's will. We are able to do whatever God is telling us to do. Let's begin reading in verse number 8. Go back there. God is speaking to Moses. He says, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Somebody say amen right there. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And that's where we'll stop this morning. The past few weeks we saw that God has revealed Himself to Moses in the form of a burning bush. God began to speak to Moses out of this burning bush. God introduced Himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has now told Moses His plan. And His plan was to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, out from being slaves, and take them to the place called the Promised Land, the place called Canaan. That was God's plan. And you can imagine as God is speaking this to Moses, God is saying, this is what I am going to do, Moses. Moses in the back of his mind thinking, well, finally, the people of Israel are finally going to be free. They're finally going to find relief They are finally going to find freedom, God. I'm glad you're going to do that. But in the back of Moses' mind, I'm sure he's thinking, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this, God? What do I have to do with this? And that's where verse 10 comes in. Because God says, this is what I'm going to do. And He looks straight at Moses and says, verse 10, now come now and I will send you to do it. And that's where Moses comes in. And for this conversation for Moses, you've heard the phrase, it went from 0 to 60 real quick. That's exactly what happened for Moses. Everything was all right. And then in one verse, Moses' perspective changed. Because Moses is probably thinking, yes, God, that's awesome. You can go set them free, but leave me out of it. You know, I'm comfortable right where I am the past 40 years being a shepherd. I've finally been comfortable. I've finally found my spot. Just leave me where I am. I'm comfortable. But here we find that God comes to Moses. And God calls Moses to do something that was going to be hard to do. Let me repeat that. God calls Moses to do something that was going to be hard to do. And how often in your life, in my life, and in the life of every child of God, does God often call us to do things that are going to be hard to do? You see, God called Abraham to step away from his family, to step away from his hometown, to step away from his comfort, and go to a place He was going to show him. That was going to be hard for Abraham to do. He called Joshua to lead 1 million people into the promised land. That was going to be real hard for Joshua to do. Think about what God called His own son to do. He called His own son to go and die on a cross. That was going to be hard to do. You see, so often God calls His children to do things that aren't necessarily easy. But here's the message that God wants us to know in the midst of that. He wants you to know, He wants me to know, and here He's going to let Moses know. Whatever God calls us to do, He gives us the ability to do it. That's what you need to know this morning. Whatever God calls you to do, He gives you the ability to do it. You see, the first thing Moses did after God said, this is what I want you to do, Moses started asking questions. In other words, Moses came up and said, how is this going to work out, God? Moses said, literally, who am I? Why are you choosing me to do this? How? Why? And what Moses is really saying is, I don't have the ability to do this, God. I don't have the strength, the ability to do what you are telling me to do. And how often you and I are the exact same way. When God is calling us to face something, to do something, we have doubts if we can really do it or not. But the message for this morning that God wants us to know is if He tells us to do it, He also equips us to do it. If He calls us to do something, He is going to equip us to do it and give us the ability to do it. But how? How does God give us the ability to do whatever He calls us to do? Well, He's going to tell Moses three things that are going to help him to find out that he can do what God is telling him to do. And I want you to see it this morning. Number one, the reason we are able to do what God is telling us to do is because of His presence. Because of God's presence with us. Verse number 10. God comes to Moses and says, come and I will send you. And Moses' first reply was not, I'm here, Lord, send me. Moses' first reply was not, okay, God, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. But you'll notice verse 11 ends with a question mark. Moses had some questions. And the first question was, who am I? Who am I? Moses is saying, God, can't you pick somebody else? I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough experience to do this, God. I think You've got the wrong person. Who am I that I should do this? You see, the first thing Moses did was look at himself. Moses looked within himself, and when he looked within himself, he said, I'm not able to do this. But that was his mistake. Because what Moses should have done, instead of looking within his power, his ability, look at God's power and look at God's ability. Because it doesn't matter how much ability we have, how much power we have, how wise we are, how much experience we have. What God is going to tell Moses is none of that matters about you. The only thing that matters is I will be with you. And that is what gives you the ability to do it. So Moses, I'm not concerned about how strong you are. Not concerned about how wise you are. Not concerned if you think you don't have the experience or not. The only thing I want you to know is that I will be with you, and because of that, you're able to do it. You see, that is exactly what makes us able to do whatever God calls us to face, is the fact that God is with us. And what you need to notice is when Moses said, "Who am I?" God didn't come back with a pep talk to Moses and say, "Yes, Moses, you are strong enough. Yes, Moses, you are good enough. Yes, Moses, you are wise enough. Yes, Moses, you can do this." God wants to tell Moses, don't worry about who you are. Worry about who I am. You see, that's where we get in trouble. When we start worried about our power, our ability, our strength. God says, don't worry about that. Because if I'm with you, I'll give you everything you need to do it. And that's what makes us able to do whatever we face. Warren Wiersbe said, "The only assurance that God's children need is God saying, I will be with you." That should be the only assurance He says that we need, is God looking at us and saying, I'm with you. Charles Stanley said this, "We're qualified to do God's work, not because of our talents, our abilities, or our training, but simply because God is with us. And if God be not with us, no skill, no experience will ever help us." The only thing that makes us able is the fact that our God is with us. And I want to give you three examples in the Scripture in which God used that very phrase, "I will be with you," in order to motivate them that they can do what He told them to do. The first example is in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. As a matter of fact, this is the first message I ever preached on February the 28th, 2016. It was just over 5 years ago. It was the first sermon I ever preached. And it was on this message. Remember, God sent 12 spies into the Promised Land to go search out and say, go see what it looks like, come back, and then we'll go take it over. Well, they all come back and they say, hey, the guys over there are huge. There's a big problem in the Promised Land, and the big problem is the people are giants, the walls are big, and that's a problem, and there's no way we can overcome that. There's no way we can do and accomplish this. But a man named Caleb steps up. And Caleb steals the people, the Bible says. And he says, do not fear them. The Lord has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, and we are well able to do it. Caleb said, we're not able because we got a lot of men. We're not able because we're smarter. We are able to overcome this problem because God is with us. Second example is in Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua, God is calling Joshua to lead 1.2 to 2 million people into the Promised Land. I want you to just think about that. God takes one man, and says, there's going to be 2 million people behind you. I need you to get them in line, all going the same direction, and take them into the promised land. You know how hard that is? It's hard for most preachers to get two people going the same direction. Right? It's hard to get just two people going. And God says, Joshua, there's 2 million of them, and I need you to get them in line and take them where I need to be. I believe I'd have said the same way Moses did. Who am I? You know, I'm out. But then God says this to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua's probably doubting in his mind whether he can do what God has called him to face. But God says, I will be with you. So yes, you are able to do it. The next one is in Matthew chapter number 28. Jesus has risen from the dead. And Jesus has 11, just 11, fewer than what we have in here today, 11 men standing around Him. And Jesus gives these 11 men a charge. Take My gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. 11 men are now commissioned to take the message of Jesus to the whole globe. And they're probably thinking, we don't have TV. We don't have internet. We don't have phones. How do you expect 11 people to spread the gospel throughout the whole entire world? You know what Jesus said next in Matthew 28? Lo, I am with you always. He said, I am with you. And therefore, whatever I'm telling you to do, you'll be able to do it. Because you're not doing it on your own. You're not doing it in your own power. You're doing it in My power. And this morning, whatever God has called you, whatever God has called me to face in our lives, He wants you to know you are able to do it for one reason. He's with you. God is with you and me. So that's the first reason we are able to do God's will, because of God's presence. Number two, we are able to do God's will, secondly, because of God's promise. Because of God's promise. Look at verse number 12. He told Moses, He said, certainly I will be with thee. But then He gives him a promise. And this shall be a token. And that word token means a sign. This shall be a sign, a token that I have sent you. What's the sign? Here it is. When thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, there it is. Now, God says, I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going to give you a sign that this is what I want you to do. Now, wouldn't that be nice sometimes in our lives? When you have no idea what decision you need to make next, wouldn't it be nice if God would kind of just, if you would walk outside today and there'd just be a cloud and it'd say, Ben, and it'd have your message on it. This is what I want you to do, right? That would be awesome sometimes in our life. God, just put it right in front of my face in the clouds. Tell me what you want me to do. That's sometimes what we want. But God is saying to Moses here, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a token. I'm going to give you a sign that this is what I am calling you to do. You say, what's the sign? He tells him, when you have brought them out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. So the sign was this. When you get them out of Egypt, you will come right back to the very place you're standing and serve Me. Now that's not the sign Moses wanted, I don't think. Because Moses was probably asking, I want something now. I want you to tell me now that this is what you want me to do. But God says, that's not how it works. He says, the sign that I've sent you is going to come after you do what I tell you to do. And so often we're in the same boat as Moses. We're saying, God, just give me a sign what I need to do. But God is telling Moses, once you do what I'm telling you to do, then I'll give you the sign that that's what you were supposed to do. Here's the thing I'm trying to say. Before we can receive God's promise, we must do God's will. Before we can receive the promise of God, we must do what God is telling us to do. And God's will for Moses was to go to Egypt, bring him out, and he says, Moses, I promise you, you'll step right back in this very spot and serve me. The only thing you got to do is go. And notice what the wording God uses in verse 12. He says, this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When, that's an awesome word, when you have brought them out. He didn't say if you bring them out. He didn't say, Moses, you might bring them out. He said, Moses, when you bring them out. So if Moses would have heard that word, don't you think that should have encouraged him? That for God, this isn't something that might happen. This isn't something that God was waiting to happen. This was something that in the mind of God already happened. He just needed Moses to go do it. And if Moses would have just heard, well, God said when this happened, so it's going to happen, he would have been a whole lot better. And what I'm trying to say is this. What you and I must learn to do is take God at His word. We must learn to take God at His word. And let me use this illustration. I told y'all on Sunday, one of my best friends in this church is Landon. He's not here, but he's one of my best friends. If I needed something at my house tonight at 5:30, usually it's moving something because he's a big boy and he can help me move it. Landon, if I called him, I said, Landon, would you come tonight at 6 o'clock and help me move this mattress to the other room? And if Landon said, yeah, I'll be there at 6:30, I would hang up the phone and say, that sounds good. But you know what I wouldn't be doing? I wouldn't be sitting on my couch saying, I wonder if he's going to come. I wouldn't be sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if he's going to come or not. I'm really worried he's not going to. Because let me tell you this about him. When he tells me he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And therefore, I have no fear, no doubt, that at 6:30, maybe later, if Heather holds him back, he's going to be there. Because I've learned to take him at his word. Now the question I want to ask you is this. If God tells us He's going to do something, shouldn't we believe Him? How often do I, when God says, Justin, just let me take care of it, am I sitting here just like this? God, are you going to do something? Is that just me or is that y'all too? When God says, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to give you the grace to get you through, I'm still sitting here absolutely worried saying, God, are you really? Why? Because most of the time we hadn't learned to take God at His word. But the thing we need to learn is when God says He's going to provide our every need, you can take Him at that word, amen. When God says, no matter what you face, I will give you the grace to get through it, you can take Him at His word. He'll give you the grace to get through it. And when God says, don't fear, be not afraid, we can take Him at that word too. That there's no reason to be afraid if God said, don't be afraid. So we must learn that when God makes a promise, we don't have to fear whether He's going to keep it or not. We don't have to worry whether He's going to come through or not. Because God, as a matter of fact, He has to. God has to keep His word. If He doesn't, He ceases to be God. He has to keep His word. And He has all throughout the history of mankind. And He won't stop just for Justin, just because I'm worried. He's still going to keep His word. But the reason we're able to do whatever God's called us to do is because He is with us and He's promised to be with us. And He's made a promise to take care of us. Number three, and I'll be done. Is this quick enough? Because I'm starting to get hungry. It's all right. Shake your head. Y'all making me worried. All right. I shouldn't quit now? Okay. Now, Miss Sylvia, if you're hungry, just tell me. Okay. All right. The third reason we're able, not only God's presence, God's promise, but God's power. God had reassured Moses in verse 12. He said, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses, this is going to work. But verse 13, there's two question marks. Moses still has some more questions. He didn't say, Lord, all right, I'm trusting you now. He said, Lord, I don't have enough faith yet. You need to answer some stuff. Moses said to God, verse 13, when I come to them, so he's saying, say I do this. Say I come to Israel and shall say to them, God has sent me to you. They will say to me, what is His name? And he says, then what shall I say to them? You know what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, I don't have all the answers, God. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds a lot like me. There are times when God will impress upon my heart to share the gospel with someone, whether it's a perfect stranger at a restaurant, at a gas station, at the grocery store, whatever. God may press upon my heart to share the gospel with them, tell them about Jesus. But the first thing that pops in the back of my mind, Brother Clyde, is this. What if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? What if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? Then what? And you know what Moses is doing? That exact same thing. He's saying, so say, God, I do what you tell me to do. And they ask me a question, and I don't know the answer. What am I supposed to do? And God is going to tell Moses, well, I've got your answer. Moses says, what's your name? What am I supposed to say to them? And the most perfect answer, and one of my favorite verses in the Word of God comes out, verse 14. God said unto Moses, and in your Bible it should be in all capitals, I am that I am, or I am who I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto them, I am has sent me. And notice, God didn't say, Moses, tell them God sent you. God didn't say, Moses, tell them the Lord sent you. He said, tell them, I am sent you. Now, for us reading an English Bible, we kind of skim over that. We don't think much of that phrase, I am. But as you know, the Old Testament was originally written in the Hebrew language. And the very characters, letters, or consonants that make up that word, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, spelling out what those Hebrew letters spell out is this name, Yahweh. You ever heard that? Yahweh. What eventually became known as the name Jehovah. All right. So that is what God is saying here. The very letters that make up that name is the word Jehovah. And any time, listen, when you're reading your Bible and you see the word Lord, and L-O-R-D is in all capitals, that is the name Jehovah. That is the name Yahweh. And Jehovah means this. We're going to get a little bit deeper, so I need you to think with me for a second, okay? The name Jehovah means the self-existing one. The self-existing one. Now, I cannot say that about myself, okay? Because the reason I'm here, or the reason I exist, is because my parents existed. If I didn't have parents, I can't exist, right? The reason you're here is because your parents existed. The reason your parents were here is because they had parents. They had parents. They had parents. So the reason any of us are here are dependent upon other people. And as a matter of fact, we're also dependent upon oxygen. Without oxygen, we can't live. We're dependent upon air. We're dependent upon water, food, all of these things to live. We are dependent people. We cannot exist without certain things. The name Jehovah means no matter what, I exist. I don't need oxygen. I don't need parents. I don't need anybody else to make me exist. I exist because I am God. He's self-sufficient and he's self-existent. Now, what I just did was just blow half of your minds. Because that's hard to wrap your brain around, isn't it? Where did God come from? What an ageless question. Let me tell you what Matthew Henry said. Many people ask, what is God? And he says, let it suffice us to know that He is what He is, what He ever was, and ever will be. Somebody asks you, what is God? He is what He is, what He always was, and what He ever will be. That is God. And to me, this might not be interesting to you, but it is to me. When you come to the first chapter in the New Testament, it tells you about the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter number 1. When Gabriel came to Joseph, his earthly father, and said, your virgin espoused wife is going to have a son, you are going to call his name Jesus. And if you look in Matthew chapter number 1, you don't have to go there right now, you can later. I think it's verse 21. The name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is in all capitals. And you know what the writers of Scripture is trying to tell us? That Jesus is Jehovah Himself. That Jesus is not just a baby that's being born. Jesus is God. Jesus is the self-existing One. That's Jesus. And what's even more interesting when you get to the book of John, you know what Jesus says over and over and over? I am. I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the light of the world. I am the water of life. I am the true vine. He says, I am, I am, I am, I am. And God says, that's me. I just am. I am. And you know what He's trying to tell Moses? Moses is thinking, I don't have the answers. I don't have the ability. And once again, God is trying to tell Moses, don't worry about who you are. Worry about who I am. And if you and I could get that, don't worry about our strength, our ability, our power to face certain things. Worry about God's. Because God has a never-ending supply of power, grace, and strength to give you and me to face whatever we face. Warren Wiersbe said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God won't enable you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not enable you. So if He's led you to this place, if He's going to lead you to a certain place, you can know this for certain. You can do it because He gives you the power to do it. And He is with us. I told you a few Sundays ago, this great I am that He says He is, He's not the great I used to be, and He's not the great I will be. He said forever and ever and ever, for all generations, for all time, I am. I am. So you know what that means? The same God He was to Moses is the same God He is to you. Same way He split the Red Sea for Moses and Israel, He can split any problem that you have. The same way He provides for the children of Israel, He said, I still am, and I still provide for my children. He's God, and the great I am still is. Say amen. I'm so thankful that we have a God who calls Himself the great I am. He's involved in your life. He's involved in my life. He's not just sitting up there waiting for us to get there. He says, I know where you are, know what you're going through, and I am. I am able. I am. I am. I am. And I'm with you. Take that with you as you leave this place. Know that God walks out of those doors with you. God gets in your car with you. God goes home with you. God sits with you in the bed. God is with you when you're asleep in the dark and dangers of night. God is with you wherever you go. Take that with you and let that encourage you. Father, we come to You this morning, and Lord, we just want to thank You so much for this encouraging Word that You've had for us today. That no matter where we are, it's where You are. And no matter what we face, You give us the ability to do it through Your grace, through Your strength, and through Your power. Father, I just pray that You would help us to believe You. Help us to put our faith in You. God, help us to fully rest upon You. That no matter what we're facing, it's not out of Your control. It's totally in Your control. So God, help us to just lean on You. Trust in You with all of our heart. Lean not into our own understanding, but in all Thy ways acknowledge You, and You shall direct our paths. God, help us to trust You. We love You, and thank You for being faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank y'all so much.